This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we continue right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. In the world of golf, everyone is buzzing about the play of Brooks Koepka, and deservedly so, as through 36 holes at the PGA Championship, he had the lowest score ever at a major championship, shooting a 63 on Thursday, a 65 on Friday, and then at Bethpage Black on Saturday, he shot an even 70, and that makes him 12 under for the PGA Championship with the 7-stroke lead heading into Sunday, which, by the way, is the largest lead through 54 holes in PGA Championship history. So with that all being said, right now we will head out to the hotline to talk about the PGA Championship as we welcome in Alex Myers from Golf Digest. Alex, always great to talk to you. Thank you for coming back on the Zach Gelb Show, and how are you?
Hey, you got it. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. My pleasure, and thank you for coming on once again. Let's start it off with Brooks Koepka. We know all the numbers, like we just mentioned in the Open. You've seen a lot of golf over the years. What stands out to you the most about his dominance over the last 3 days at the PGA Championship?
Well, yeah, I mean, you said the word right there, dominance. It's been just an incredible performance thus far by Koepka. I mean, it's just demoralizing the field. I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of what Tiger was doing, you know, in 2000 at Pebble Beach and then at the Open Championship at St. Andrews when he won those two tournaments by a combined 23 shots. And basically players started to wonder if they were ever going to have a chance to win again, and, you know, just kind of playing for second place. I mean, Xander Schauffele had a quote just now about how, you know, tomorrow's boring almost, and it's deflating. He thinks he's playing pretty well, but he's just, they're basically playing for second at this point. That's how well Brooks is playing. So, you know, it's just been, we know he's got the power, but we, at these majors, we've seen him really put the complete game together. His iron play has been spectacular, and he's rolling in some putts.
So, Alex, I was there on Thursday and Friday, and as we know, in what we were seeing with Brooks Koepka, it was history. But really, the New York crowd and golf fans that were there at Bethpage Black, even though what Brooks was doing was unbelievable, the attention and the buzz was all surrounding Tiger Woods. And hey, deservedly so, it's Tiger, and he's coming off a Masters win and his first major championship in a long time after many people thought he was never going to win a major championship again. However, with Tiger no longer in the picture on Saturday, since you were there, since he missed the cut, how did the crowd treat Brooks Koepka on Saturday? How'd they receive him?
You know, it was interesting. He was on the range. I was out there. He was walking off. There were some people saying, yeah, go Brooks, go wire to wire. But then right then, Tony Finau came on the range, and he got a louder reception, it seemed, than Brooks. And on the first tee, he got announced first, got a good reception, but then Jordan Spieth was announced. He got a louder reception. So, you know, he's definitely still not the most popular player. I do think that the fans have been impressed by him, especially like you mentioned, kind of going head to head with Tiger those first couple days and just completely kicking his butt. You know, it's not like anybody's rooting against him or anything, but certainly it's not the most juiced up crowd watching him. But that's just because he's making it look so easy. That's part of it.
In terms of respect, we all know how great of a golfer he is by winning back-to-back U.S. Opens, and by the end of the weekend, he will win back-to-back PGA championships. But you're really right, because it is a little bizarre. Like, people did pick him going into this tournament, and I know I was talking to Jim Nance on Wednesday, and his pick was Brooks Koepka, so there were big names picking him. But even with all that Brooks Koepka has accomplished, it still feels like that we aren't really appreciating his greatness enough, and the buzz and the energy going into a major championship isn't as crazy with him as it should be going into one of these big events.
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of realize it, and especially if he does put this one away tomorrow, which obviously looks like he will, and that will be 4 in 8 starts. And when you start talking about that kind of a run, you have to mention, or you can only mention names like Tiger, Jack, and Ben Hogan. So, you know, I think we will realize it at least once he does that, once he wins that 4th and 8 tries. But you're right. I mean, and I've heard Jim talk about that as well. He, you know, this guy's not getting enough attention. Jim even said, well, maybe it's partly his fault for not pumping him up even more when he's on the air. But he's certainly leading that bandwagon for him. And, you know, it is weird. You can go into, I think this was the first major coming in where people made a concerted effort to, he's the favorite, or at least the co-favorite. And I think going forward, he's going to be the favorite, obviously, for the foreseeable future at any major championship.
Alex Myers here with us from the Golf Digest. Adam, I want to take you back to something that Adam Scott said the other day. And he was talking about Brooks Koepka, and he said this run eventually has to come to an end. And he was hoping that it doesn't go on for a 12-year run like it did with Tiger Woods. I know some will bring up the Tiger comparisons, and this run by Koepka truly doesn't seem like that it's going to end anytime soon, especially, as you know, with how cool and calm he looks in these major events.
Yeah, it's tough to see it happening. He just turned 29. So obviously he's in, you know, decent shape. So I think he's going to be able to keep this up for a while. He's had no injury history of any kind, which is good. I mean, Adam Scott's line was perfect. I mean, you just have to kind of weather the storm if you're these other guys right now, and hope he cools down, because when he's putting it together, he's just clearly better than everybody else. And, you know, he's making me rethink some of these stats, and it's not just the stats. I love stats. I use stats all the time. But the problem is with the PGA Tour stats is they don't include the major championships. And obviously if Brooks Koepka is playing his best golf in those tournaments, that's not translating in his overall stats. So my point being, when you go to his player page on PGAtour.com and you see he's, I don't know, you know, 30th in strokes gained approach, or like, you know, 50th in strokes gained off the tee, I'm sorry, it just doesn't add up. He's obviously better than that, or he's better than the stats show, because when you put him in the biggest tournaments against the best fields, he is clearly the best player. So he's making me rethink kind of how we look at those stats. And it's just amazing what he's doing.
Why don't they include those major championship performances in those stats?
I don't know. You know, it's a good point. I mean, I don't think they have their own people doing it. Maybe they're worried about accuracy there. What's funny is these tournaments are now starting to track those stats kind of individually. They just don't get folded in. So you could look up this week, and I know he's leading the field by a long shot in strokes gained approach, for instance, this week. I think he's gaining about 3.7 shots per round on the field average. So, you know, that's where he's making his bread and butter, which is kind of vintage Tiger in a way, just those approach shots with the irons, just giving himself look after look. But yeah, for some reason that, you know, that won't get folded into his overall stats. So I don't think his rankings will change after this week. But again, you know, we saw what he's doing this week with the irons, with the driver. We know he's one of the best drivers of the golf ball. We know he's one of the best iron players out there. He's not the best putter, but he certainly makes enough putts he's certainly a good putter. And, you know, the short game is very solid as well, although he doesn't really have to use it that much when he's hitting wedges into almost every green.
Talking to Alex Myers right now on CBS Sports Radio. I saw a stat from Amanda Baliones of CBS that Brooks Koepka in his first 14 majors was a combined 15 over par, which is crazy looking back at it. But in his last 8 majors, including the first 3 rounds of the 2019 PGA Championship, he's an astonishing 57 under par. Let me ask you this, as there are a lot of people who are listening right now only watch majors, and they've seen what he's done, as we know, winning back-to-back U.S. Opens, what will be, by the end of Sunday, back-to-back PGA Championships, and actually having a total of 9 top 10 finishes in majors. And once again, that number will go up to 10 after Sunday. But after the majors, some don't watch him other than the four times a year. You've seen him a ton over the years. Describe to me Brooks Koepka, the person, and also how that personality is and how that needs to continue to grow as he truly is becoming one of the biggest stars in the sport of golf.
Yeah, well, you know, the personality, he's not a flashy guy on the course. He doesn't show a lot of emotion, and I think that's why maybe the fans haven't gravitated to him like they have to other stars like a Rory McIlroy or a Jordan Spieth, for instance. But, you know, he gives a pretty dry press conference, let's be honest. But I will say this. He isn't just a cliche machine. He will speak what's on his mind. Earlier in the year, he really spoke out against slow play, for instance. So when he does get asked questions, he will give, honest answers. I just think, last year, he used that as a motivational chip that he wasn't being asked to even do interviews. He wasn't being asked to be at the pre-tournament press conferences. So obviously now that's going to be unavoidable. He's going to be the number one player in the world. He clearly is the number one player in the world. He's going to be interviewed as much as anyone other than Tiger, probably. So, I think we'll get to see a little more. I think he knows that for his brand and for everything else that he maybe needs to add maybe a little more excitement, but I don't think he's going to change the way he acts on the course. Obviously, that laid-back, persona is what has made him so good. I don't think you're not going to see him running around fist pumping anytime soon.
Alex, moving to Tiger, I didn't think, if I'm being honest with you, that he would win the PGA Championship. And truly, I didn't even expect him to play all that great. And trust me, I was rooting for him being a big-time Tiger Woods fan. Even though I didn't have high expectations, though, going in, I was surprised he didn't make the cut. Break down what you saw out of Tiger Woods Thursday and Friday at Bethpage Black.
I'm giving Tiger a pass this week. I just think he was due for a bad week. I think maybe the most surprising part of this entire latest comeback is how few bad weeks he's had. He missed two cuts last year in his first season back, and his last one was at the U.S. Open almost a year ago at Shinnecock. So, you see these other big names have bad weeks routinely compared to him. So I think he was just kind of due. I also think he was under the weather. I mean, you kind of could hear it in his voice on Tuesday at his press conference, and then he didn't even show up to the golf course on Wednesday, the day before the tournament. He only played 9 holes of practice this week leading into the event. So I think something was a little off there. He even mentioned he's 43, he's got the surgeries. Sometimes you wake up, you don't feel that great. He just didn't have it this week, and, he still almost made the cut, but I don't think it's very concerning. I do think, however, he might have to, if he puts up another clunker or two like this, taking off all those weeks before a major, he might have to reevaluate his strategy on that.
I know you said you give him a pass and it's not concerning, and I agree. We know what he's done, though, looking ahead to another major coming up this year at Pebble Beach in the past, especially with what happened in 2000. What do you expect out of him when we get set not that far off from the U.S. Open?
Well, other than this week, we just don't usually see him play very poorly. I think, a poor week for him is usually he's still in that top 20, top 15, maybe top 10. So I'd expect him to at least be there. And, it just comes down to him making putts. I mean, that's the biggest difference with his game right now. He's just not the putter he once was. He now misses at least one to three putts of a 4 to 8 foot range every round now, when he used to go entire tournaments without missing from that range. That's the key. That's always going to be the key for him. His irons are very sharp. His driver was terrible this week, but it has been better. He's taken a little distance off and he's gotten more accurate, but it's just about the putting. And you mentioned, obviously, of course, he has the most dominant performance in golf history at Pebble in 2000, but he also in 2010 made a nice little run there as well, finished T4 at Pebble. So yeah, certainly I think he's excited about going there, and I wouldn't expect him to miss the cut again.
And as we move to Jordan Spieth, he's on a quest for the career Grand Slam, and I was at his press conference earlier in the week, and he said before the PGA Championship that he was out of his slump. Do you agree with him with this assessment of his play?
I don't agree. I mean, that was a great, you know, I admire him for his confidence, but, you know, he has 14 consecutive PGA Tour starts where he hasn't finished in the top 20. I mean, that's just incredible. Forget about not winning, but just he's not even contending. And, you know, yesterday, of course, everybody got excited with the 66 that put him in the final group today. But guess what? In about half of his events this year, he's kind of been in the mix going to the weekend. He's third in second round scoring average, and then he's 193rd in third round scoring average and 208th in final round scoring average. So today was pretty much what we've seen all year. Get into contention through two rounds and then, you know, tumble down the leaderboard. And I think he is close. I think he's, you know, I think the iron play is sharpening up. His short game looks great. The putter is starting to come around. It's just crazy. He makes, it seems like, at least a double bogey every round. He did that again today on the ninth hole, which really daggered him today. So, you know, this was a big weekend for him. Not that he was going to win, but just to have another a high finish on the leaderboard. But so I don't think he's back. I do think he's still in a slump, but I do think he's trending in the right direction.
Talking to Alex Myers from Golf Digest right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Alex, like I was saying, I was there for some of the practice rounds and also there for Thursday and Friday of the PGA Championship. Following the golfers in the crowd, it was clear that the New York fans love Phil Mickelson, lefty no surprise, and they really did embrace John Daly. I thought the whole situation with Daly and the cart was entertaining, with the cigarettes also and the soda. What did you make of the decision to allow John Daly in the 2 days that he was there to use the cart?
Yeah, that was a bit of a circus those first couple of days. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I've heard people on both sides of it. I kind of think that if, you know, he probably shouldn't have been allowed to have it. It seemed a little ridiculous, especially what was so awkward is that Bethpage Black, that you're not allowed to take carts in general. So there aren't even cart paths here for the cart. So that was an interesting little sideshow, but we all got to see, you know, him packing the car with Diet Cokes and everything else. And it gave a little bit of a storyline to this tournament when Brooks Koepka seems to have sucked everything else out at the life out of the tournament otherwise.
Last one for Alex Myers from Golf Digest. Alex, I have to end you on something that is very important and very serious. Last time we had you on the show, it was during the Masters, and you told us that you weren't a fan of the famous pimento and cheese sandwich that is served at Augusta because you hate cheese. I'll be in the media room coming up in a few hours later on Sunday. Can we finally get you over your hatred of cheese? I saw they had some cheese platters over the last few days. Can we get you to sample some cheese for us, Alex?
No. You couldn't. No, thanks. In fact, yeah, the other day I got killed. Both of the things they were serving had cheese all over it. Today was good, though. That it was fried chicken and some kind of Chinese pork. If you weren't here today, you missed it. But so hopefully we get something good tomorrow to finish the week out.
All right, Alex. I don't love the final answer, but always do appreciate your time. And I'll see you at Bethpage Black later today. Thanks for giving us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio.
You got it, Zach. Take care. See you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.